Okay, so we welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Just gone about 11 minutes past the hour of 9. Now, the segment that we're going to have now, we're going to be discussing a very, very important topic, constructive criticism. Well, to understand what it is in the first place, let's get Mufti Saab will be answering that for us. Mufti Saab, why is constructive criticism so important in the workplace?
Well, when I mentioned the word constructive criticism, I saw you groaning and rolling your eyes. The two little words that we don't like hearing. And as much as we all say we want to grow and we want to improve, we don't like constructive criticism or criticism in any way. But there's no way around the fact that receiving constructive criticism is for your own betterment. And constructive criticism is what you could say is one of the necessary evils of the new workplace. It's what pushes us to become better employees, to become better at what we do, and what you rely on to get the best out of everyone around you. But constructive criticism is like walking a tightrope. You know, you don't want to come across as being too mean. You want to deliver it politely and professionally. And alhamdulillah, you know, at the radio station, we also have constructive criticism in our meetings where we talk about, we give feedback, we pair every week with the different members of the team, and you've got to say what you've observed in this one's program and what that one's observed in someone else's program, and we give it, you know, we give a best shot at what we observe. So it is the only way, basically, that will help you improve, but it is something that is difficult.
Yeah, you know, as they normally say, the bitterest medicine is the best. So it might be bitter to swallow, it might be difficult to accept, but it is, especially when it is, as the word suggests, constructive, then it will help you, it will take you forward, and it will help you to improve. Now, obviously, the next question is the very interesting question. Why do we dislike criticism?
I think dislike is a mild word. We hate it. You know, it's something that we cringe when we are put in the position that we've got to give constructive or we've got to receive it both ways. And the outcome always makes us flinch. And when we look at it simply, it knocks at our confidence. It reminds us that we are not flawless at our job. And these negative pieces of feedback that we get, it sticks in our mind. So our confidence is knocked. It shows our mistakes, and the negative feedback sticks in our mind. In fact, a research by Psychology Today shows that it takes 5 positive events to make up for 1 just negative event in our brain. So you critique someone, you tell someone something bad, and after that, they need 5 positive events to overcome that. So that gives us an indication. We tend to get so hyper-focused on that one perceived flaw, even though it may be minuscule, that it overshadows everything else that we may be doing or that we may have achieved. And a study has shown that constructive criticism actually dulled a lesson that an employee took away, that if you wanted to teach someone a lesson, you called someone up and you told them many good things, and then you made one constructive critique against them, and they just continue to latch on to that as though they shut out everything and they just hold on to that. So that is the impact that it has upon us. That's why we hate it so much. It's challenging. It pokes holes in our ego. But despite all of that, you know, you need to look at it in the sense that this person who's offering the constructive criticism is investing their time and energy in something that will be beneficial for you. It is for your own. Obviously, it depends on how it's delivered and all of that, but the fact that someone is helping you improve, that should be a motivation for you. And in your own way, when you're offering it, you need to offer it in a way that shows that you have the person's interests. You shouldn't be coming across as too bossy or too condescending, because that will damage the relationship that you have with that person. In fact, there's another study that by the psychic test, which found that 41% of respondents have actually gotten into an argument. When I start giving you some constructive criticism, you start defending yourself, and then we start arguing. And it happens at times, and that's constructive criticism gone bad. So it is important, we hate it, but there's a lot that we can take from it.
Yeah, most certainly, and we have to be strong enough and matured enough to realize why the person is giving it, and don't look at it as a personal attack, rather look at it as a person trying to better yourself. Now, Mufzabda, you know, as a person wants to maybe try and engage, maybe give and offer some constructive criticism, what would Mufzabda advise? What are the do's and don'ts?
Now, what are the do's and don'ts of constructive criticism? So we'll mention some do's and don'ts intermittently. So let's focus on one something that you should do. You should be constructive. That is the first point. You know, as the words suggest, constructive, that you shouldn't be pointing out a problem. You should be offering a solution. Just pointing out a problem doesn't help. So that is just neglect, destructive criticism. So one should make, put out what is the solution to that, and neglecting to do so makes you feel that that person want to get at me, or you want to get at the person. That is why you only pointing out the problem. That is a, so focus on the solution, the first point. What is the don't that you shouldn't do is, don't stick your nose in where it doesn't belong. That before you, you know, get the idea of helping someone out, you need to ask yourself, am I the right person to be providing feedback on the situation? Mm. If it doesn't directly involve you in any way, then best stay out of it. You'll run the risk of seeing like a nosy meddler that going beyond what is in your port of call. If you're going to interfere with things that are out of your jurisdiction, you know, you're not in management, why do you bother about what the finances or things like that are? So that is a don't. Let's go to another do that. Include some positivity. The last thing is that you want the person that you're offering the constructive criticism to feel like this is a personal attack on that person. And that's why it's always good to start off with something positive. It helps to cushion the blow, and it makes clear that you don't think that the person is bad at their job. That is something they could do just even better. So it must come across like you're wanting to help the person do something in a better way. On the other hand, we say don't, you do start with something good or positive, but don't sugarcoat your feelings. That if you want to start with something good, to avoid jumping into the accusation, it's important that you stay to the point and stay clear. You don't want the person at the end of it saying, but so what was he saying to me? He said this and he said that and he said this and he said that. And what was the message? And you don't get it. So don't sugarcoat. You need to be clear to your point. Emphasize the results, that you are eager to make it clear that you're not wanting to destroy the person's confidence, but this is the outcome. And another important thing is, don't focus on too many things. That if you want to focus on, you know, the person's one aspect and another aspect and another aspect, then the person gets confused. And another mistake that we make is that when you come to a person, you say that, you know, everybody is saying this. Mm-hmm. And the whole team has noticed this. We all know, you know, we've been talking and we've come to the conclusion that you are always late. Mm-hmm. Well, so what does it do when you say that? It seems as though everyone's ganging up against me. Mm-hmm. The person receiving it, meaning everyone's against me. And it creates a very bad pressure. It creates a lot of bitterness. And so when you're offering constructive criticism, don't generalize. Keep it to the point of a solution, and do not, what you say is that, shoulder the burden of a group that may not be there, that you were trying to implicate everyone. So your body language is key in this. So the points that we've made is that don't be constructive, don't be destructive. Consider, is it within your port of call? Include some positivity and focus on one thing. Don't generalize. Those are some of the points that we need to consider and some of the things that we need to avoid.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Now, you have explained to us how important it is and why it is important to have this constructive criticism in the workplace, and then obviously why people wouldn't like it, why people will dislike it, and as you said, even hate it. Muftisab gave us some very apt examples and explained to us the do's, what you should do, what you should stay away from. But it's maybe easier said than done. So if perhaps Muftisab could maybe provide us with maybe a scenario or something. How do you give constructive criticism to an employee?
Okay, so this is one of the most common scenarios that you have a manager needing to offer some piece of constructive criticism to an employee, a report, and the person, the manager, could give it in passing, or it could be a official performance appraisal or anything like that. So you get called up into the office and now you've got an answer for your actions. Now, how does the manager present himself? The important thing to remember here is that you're the one in the position of power, which means the situation is already intimidating. Someone's coming in your office, you've got to speak to that person. The person already knows he's going to be senior, he's got to answer. And so that is where the power lies with you. So in that situation now, you need to be very careful how you come across. You need to be empathetic, encouraging, while also getting your point across. So do this by emphasizing that you're on the same side, that you can even take a more supportive position by offering to help the person correct. So let us give a practical example that your employee has a history of missing important deadlines, and you need to remind him or her that they need to be on time with their deliverables. Otherwise, everything else gets thrown out. So what you want to say is that, I need you to get your stuff done on time. That is a pretty basic expectation that you shouldn't have any trouble fulfilling. There is one way you could say it. I mean, that's basic. You need to get your things done on time, and there shouldn't be a problem with that. Can't you understand that? So that is one type of a way that you could deliver it. But what is at the core of this is that you actually want the work to be done on time. You're the manager now. So you want the work to be done on time. So rather present it in a way by saying that I've noticed that you've been late with some of your reports this past 2 months. And I know that things get busy, but I need you to improve with your on-time delivery, because not getting that information by the deadline really throws the rest of the team off track. And then you add to that by saying that, is there anything I can do to help you better manage your workload to ensure that you don't fall behind? Mm-hmm. So the message is the same, but the one, it's delivered in a generalized way. It's attacking on the person. The other, it's solution orientated. Mm-hmm. It's showing that you're on the same team, mm-hmm. that we're working towards a common goal. That is our objective here. So that is what you need to look at. And obviously, this is from the position of power now, person who's sitting as a manager. And when the manager is saying that, is there anything I can do to help you deliver that? You'll get the message that now from this, he needs to buck up. He needs to carry his weight and get to the point. So the message is not lost, that you're sugarcoating it, that the person won't know now what is it. It's clear that I need to deliver my things on time. And it's been delivered, the message has been given in such a way that it is very empathetic, as well as it gets the point across.
Yeah, it's a very tactful way of doing it. You know, sometimes you can advise a person in such a tactful way that you actually encourage the person. The person wants to do it. And sometimes people would advise you in such a way that even if you are thinking of doing it, you'd rather stay away. Okay, Mufzab, now you gave the example from the manager-employee scenario. Now let's take a look if Mufzab could give us a scenario where, a PR, a colleague that's working with you, and now you need to try and give that person some constructive criticism. How would you do it? Would it be the same or any different?
More awkward. That's how it would be. It's easy to feel it's not my place to be providing feedback to a colleague that is on the same level, that maybe I'm overstepping the mark here. At the same time, if you're working on a team and someone is doing something which the person needs to be alerted to, now, you don't want to go every time to the manager and say that this one is not doing this, this one is not doing that. Then you're like a telltale or a tattletale, that you're continuously running to the manager to deal with the issues, and that may even look bad on you. So how do you go about then dealing with the situation? This is even, a tight rope to walk. So you need to know that absolutely that you can deliver some sort of feedback to a colleague, provided that you're able to do it in a way that is not condescending, and that you do not try to step in for, that you appear as you're going beyond your port of call. So let's look at the scenario. One of your co-workers maybe continue to interrupt you in a team meeting. And every time you begin to speak, they immediately cut you off with their ideas. And you don't know if they're aware they're doing it, So you decide to bring it up after the meeting. So you may say that after the meeting that maybe you haven't noticed, although I don't know you could miss that, but you're always interrupting me in the meetings. Can you just let me speak before you jump in and put your two cents? Can you just let me speak? That is one way you could say it. Or you could come and say that, you know, Brother Zaid, this is a bit uncomfortable, but I've noticed that you tend to interrupt me when I'm sharing my thoughts in a meeting. And I know that you're excited to get your own ideas across, which are always great. But I'd appreciate if you could let me get my thoughts out before you begin speaking. So you're getting the message across without attacking the person, without overstepping the mark, and you're dealing with the issue that needs to be dealt with instead of going to your boss and saying that this guy doesn't give me a chance and he's get called up and now he's going to be told that give Ahmed a chance to speak in the meeting. So instead of going that route, you rather have a situation where you deal with the situation in a tactful manner.
Most certainly, and if you do approach it in the tactful manner that Mufti Sahib is speaking of, keeping the do's, the don'ts in mind, then hopefully things can work out for you. If you use the first method in both examples, then your results are not likely to be very, very successful. Okay, Mufti Sahib, now the third scenario we're going to take a look at. This would probably be the most awkward, the most difficult. You need to give feedback to a manager.
Yeah,
that's the opposite. The first one was
doubt that would be the most nerve-wracking and the most difficult of it all, to be going upwards. Speaking to a manager itself, that is a nerve-wracking situation on its own. So if your boss is working or communicating in a way that makes your job harder than you need to, and you need to be able to voice your concerns in this regard. So let's give a typical scenario that your boss continues to touch base with you about important tasks and do's via instant messenger. And because you use instant messenger, WhatsApp for less important communication, you find you easily lose track of the notes. And you much rather have your boss send you emails instead of getting messages. Now, how are you going to get that across to him? One way is you come up and you say, seriously, can't you stop sending me absolutely everything? Slack the moment. It's impossible for me to keep track of all the messages that you're sending. It's driving me crazy. That's one way you could. Or another way is that, you say that you come to, in a casual conversation, you say that when it comes to important assignments and tasks, would you mind sending me those as emails instead? That way I can keep easy track of them and make sure that I can get them done on time. I don't want to drop the ball. I don't want to miss out messages.
Mm-hmm.
And it may just get lost in the WhatsApp messages.
Mm.
So in that way, you're getting the objective. Instead of, venting your emotion, you cushion it in a way that would get the message across and you'll be able to achieve the objective.
Yes, in all three scenarios, I think it's a normal habit amongst us that we normally play into our emotions. We let our emotions get the better of us. And, like they used the parable from the footballing game, play the ball and not the man, So that is where it becomes very important. When you let your emotions get the better of you, then instead of looking at the issue at hand, you normally attack the person more than the issue. That's not going to help you in any way.
Yes.
You need to the whole issue is about the matter in hand, not the person. So that is what we need to learn to do. And most certainly, we will learn. This is just my little, as you said, two cents. when we look at the life of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was always about the matter that was there. It was never ever an attack on the person. If you look at our elders, and that is what we learn. There's an issue with a certain person. Don't look at the person, don't attack him and now start calling him names. There's a certain issue, just address the issue and move on. May Allah inspire us. Now, we've spoken about dishing it. How does one receive it in the positive way?
Yes, that is the difficult part now. It's easy to adjust your plan. How are you going to dish it out? And whether you're dishing it out in the right way or another way, that remains to be seen. But now, when you're receiving it, the first thing is to assume the person has good intentions. We will say that he just wants to make me feel bad. They're only trying to make me look bad in front of the boss or in front of the management. they want to give their own ego a boost. That's why they're knocking me down. So that shouldn't be the case. It's easy for us to brush it off and say the person is malicious in their intention. And we can easily fall into that trap of thinking that. But you need to step back and say no. That, you know, everyone isn't that bad. They've taken out time. The person is taking out time and energy to share something with me, which obviously, you know, there's an investment from their time. So let me give them the benefit of it and say that their intentions are good. So that is your first starting point, that assume that the person's intentions are good, or convince yourself that the person's intentions are good. But the second point is, don't get defensive. Many of us, you know, the moment we hear any sort of criticism, we feel we need to argue and deny it vehemently. And we need to now defend ourselves. So don't get defensive. Resist the urge to defend yourself and do this person a courtesy by hearing them. You might be surprised at what you'd be able to learn about yourself. And then while you're listening, listen in such a way that you ask a question. That instead of providing a counter argument, no, but this is the reason, that is the reason, mm-hmm. No, I did it because of this. Rather, you ask a question that would show that you're listening and that you want further examples. Like if someone says that, you know, you always use this word wrongly on air, mm-hmm. They'll come to me and say that this is the case. So I can ask, can you give me an example of when I use it? And say it's on Saturday morning when you're on air, this is when. So. Mm-hmm. That is the third point, is ask a question. The fourth point is be gracious. That the person is giving you the feedback, and you then say thank the person in a genuine, heartfelt manner. You may feel a bit down that you've got this, but look at it in a positive way and be gracious about it. And what would be the real sign that you valued it is to follow up, that you try implementing what is being said. And after a while, you go to the person and say that, you know, you alerted me, I tried to change, what do you have to say? Have you noticed any change in that? Mm-hmm. And in that way, it would show that you are genuine about improving yourself. And in the end of the day, you know, when we look at Imam Ghazali, he said that there's four ways to improve yourself. One is to have a sheikh who will mentor you. Mm-hmm. And the sheikh is going to give you feedback. The other is to to have a muakhat, a mutual friendship with someone, and you give that person feedback and that person gives you feedback. So both these two ways have the entire concept of feedback and how you receive it. And I think that is why we focused on it. The others is, you know, related to the dhikr and related to our personal activities that we need to carry out. So I think while our business program focuses on the work environment and how to receive it, constructive criticism is something that we all need to deal with in different parts of our life. Sometimes you need to give it, sometimes you need to receive it. And I think if we keep some of these principles in mind, it will help us and take us a long way forward in developing ourselves.
Most certainly. Jazakallah, Mutsab. That was very, very inspirational for myself as well. And we hope that the listeners will benefit from the wonderful advices that Mufti Saab had given. That brings us to the end of the segment. Let's go for an ad break. When we come back, we'll continue the program.